Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So this morning we're going to go ahead and get started in a passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and it's a story about a dad and his son. And you know, as kind of a little backstory to this, you know, the disciples had tried to get this son set free. They just couldn't do it. You know, they tried to get him delivered. And so finally the son appeals directly to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Hey, why couldn't we cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Wow. Jesus said, there's a key here. Mustard seed faith. You know, I can imagine they did everything they knew, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene. Why? Why couldn't we? And he knows what they're thinking. They're thinking, "Wow, we got really little faith and you got really big faith." And he's saying, "No, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed." He's trying to get in their heads in a good way. He doesn't want them to be intimidated by his faith. He's saying, "If you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could talk to that mountain. Nothing would be impossible for you." Here's another occasion where Jesus brings out that mustard seed faith. It says, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith. We want more. Make it bigger.' So Jesus said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" This is the Message translation, paraphrase. Puts it this way: "The apostles came up and said to the master, 'Give us more faith.' But the master said, 'You don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it.'" I am so glad Jesus said what he said about faith. And I'm so glad the way he put it about mustard seed faith. What we believe in faith at Door of Life. We preach faith, teach faith, and there's just so much that the Bible says. We're saved by grace through faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a big deal. So we know it is. And we learn about faith and really how to develop, establish, strengthen faith, faith, faith. But in our faith quest and in our faith walk and faith life, there is a very wonderfully humbling reality that Jesus brings out. It really isn't about getting gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs and big, 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 big faith. As long as you're thinking like that, I don't care if you believe faith, you're passionate about faith, you're always being to that place, "I just don't have quite enough faith. I believe all the right things about faith, but I don't have just quite enough faith. I don't have enough faith." Jesus says there's a very powerful truth about faith. Mustard seed faith. And this is a truth that just kind of it kind of puzzled me too. It's just like, wow, I know I can develop faith. I know I can grow in faith. I know what it's like to meditate on the Word of God, get revelation knowledge, to get truth, to get further understanding. You know, I know that my faith in things, you know, through experience, I can get stronger as I have walked with God and seen Himself prove Himself faithful to me over the years. But besides all that stuff, there is something that is so simple about faith that Jesus wanted to get across to His disciples so that they wouldn't get caught up in the size of their faith, that they could use that as an excuse to believe that they can't get free, they can't get delivered, not because they don't believe the Bible is true, not that because they don't believe that faith is true, not that they don't have great theology. It's just the size of their faith isn't quite there yet. He talks about mustard seed faith. You know, there's somebody who said, I can't remember, just said, the message of faith is taught, but the spirit of faith is caught. You can teach about faith. You can teach about the logistics, the do's and don'ts, and how it works, and all the mechanics of faith. But there is a spirit of faith that is caught. And I'm just praying this morning that you catch that spirit of faith this morning. Jesus wanted His disciples to catch a spirit of faith, to not get caught up in size. If you got mustard seed faith, it's not like with mustard seed faith you can do little things, and with grapefruit-sized faith you can do big things. I mean, with mustard seed faith, or what is it? Mustard seed faith, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you with mustard seed faith. This is wonderfully humbling and freeing. My heart this morning is that we're going to uncomplicate faith this morning. We're going to really, really simplify it. But I warn you, there's a part of you that doesn't want to simplify it. There's a part of you that wants to keep it complicated. Part of me that wants to keep it complicated. Did Jesus want faith to be complicated? No. Mustard seed faith. Think about the gospel. The gospel is available for whosoever will. Well, if you're going to walk by faith, live by faith, it also has to be available for whosoever will. If you need an IQ of 180 to walk in faith, complicated faith, not everybody could do it. Faith is simple. It is simple, 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 simple. And as we look at this morning, what we're just simply calling mustard seed faith, we're going to look at it. We're going to revisit some stuff that you've known, that you've heard through the years, and we're going to visit it through the eyes of mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith. Mustard. First of all, we're just going to start with the simplicity of mustard seed faith. Again, as we alluded to before, God likes to keep things simple. You know, Paul said, you know, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He says, God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. There was a place when Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you. You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. So faith isn't really going to be this big, heavy, complicated thing that you have to have an engineering degree to keep up with to figure it out. It is going to be so simple. So simple. Simple, simple, simple. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he says, For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you've not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul's concerned for the Corinthians. He's concerned that they're going to get off that simplicity of their faith. in the same way that Eve got off the simplicity of the word of the Lord for her. Let's take a look at how that happened. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you will not touch it, nor shall you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Okay, here's where it happens. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So think about this. The simplicity of God's word was, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the tree which is in the midst of the garden. That was just the simple truth. That was the simplicity. That was their Bible back then. Pretty little Bible. Just, you know, one or two verses. Pretty simple. But do you know that Satan is a master of complicating the simple? It seems like a simple truth, but the way Satan sneaks up on her and appeals to her reason, pretty soon she's looking at that tree, saying, "Wow, look at that tree. That tree is good for food. Me and Adam are the only ones in the garden. And that thing's good for food. Perfectly good food. Going to waste." Is wasting a good thing? Wow. That doesn't make sense. And it's so beautiful. I mean, it's incredible. How could anything that lovely be bad for me? What I see with my eyes is something that's inviting and beautiful. How could that kill me? It doesn't make sense. And it can make me wise? Wow, I could know more than I know now? I could have wisdom that I don't have now? How could ignorance be better than wisdom? It doesn't make sense. How could a loving God prohibit me? This is the spirit that's in the world today. That same voice in the garden is in the voice of heads all over. It comes through your TV, it comes through the internet. Same voice. What happened to Eve? Paul was concerned that would happen to the Corinthians, that she would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now you think about what we call the corruption of simplicity. When you rationalize it, it becomes responsible. I mean, look at that. That tree's good for food. It is irresponsible to let good food go to waste. He's appealing to your reasoning, isn't it? It's beautiful. Come on. Look with your eyes. What do you see? Be honest with what you see. Does that look like that's going to kill you? Does it look like that's going to kill you? And it's going to make you wise. Are you going to stay simple? Appeals to your intellect, doesn't it? It'll appeal to, on that front, he'll appeal to compassion. He'll appeal to your sight, what you can see, and he'll appeal to your intellect. He'll make you lose the compassion contest, make you feel like a fool for not just doing what's obvious, what you can see, and he'll also intellectually intimidate from the simplicity that's in Christ. What should Eve have done in the face of all that intimidation? If she would have said, "Well, the Lord just said I won't eat of that tree." What about the pull? Boy, I'd feel like they don't think that I, you know, you know, I feel like they're going to think that I, you know, that I'm too simple, that I feel like it. Simplicity of faith. There's a reason why simplicity of faith isn't just so simple. We had talked last week about tuning into heaven. We know that in the natural, there are airwaves all over this room. Television, video, cell, you can't see them with your eyes, but there's data running through here, there's videos running through here, all kinds of stuff. And a lot of that stuff is the reasonings of the enemy, the same stuff. Simple faith is not quite as simple as it sounds, and yet it's very simple. It's a paradox. We're going to get around to it, the simplicity, how it's simple. But we need to realize that we have the same situation that Eve had. And we got to realize that in the same way that Eve was corrupted from the simplicity, that we are being bombarded every day to try to be pulled away from the simplicity of our faith. When Jesus was on the earth, something happened that really impressed him. You see Jesus, you know, doing a lot of things. You know, when he talked to his disciples, he said, oh, how long do I have to be with you? Okay, you know, perverse generation, you have little faith, bring the boy to me, and he gets him delivered, all right? He's showing, he's demonstrating. But there were a few times when Jesus went, wow. This is one of those times. A centurion went to Jesus, and he had a servant who was sick at home, and Jesus said, fine, okay, let's go. I'll go to him. I'll go and minister healing to him. And all of a sudden, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This guy just had a simple faith. You just say the word and it's good. Isn't that amazing? There was another guy in the Old Testament, you know, Naaman the leper, who came to Elijah to get a healing for his leprosy. And Elijah just sent a servant out to tell him what to do. And he was mad that he didn't come out and wave his hands and do something miraculous that he could see, you know. But here, you know, of course, he did finally dip in the river, and you know, and he got healed. But this guy here, kind of another unbeliever, if you will, Jesus comes in contact with him. He says, "Look, I get it. You got authority. Just your word is good enough." That's a simple faith. It's a simple faith. Now, how can you have that kind of a simple faith? And as we're getting into this, just keep in mind a few things, all right? This isn't my first rodeo with walking by faith. I've been living for the Lord for 35 years. I've been through stuff. I've been through some dark, dark days. I know how dark, dark can be. I know how your mind can be like a machine gun and you just can't seem to turn it off. I've been there, okay? This simple faith, let's bring it back to what Jesus said, mustard seed faith, or poppy seed, something tiny. That's the thing that's going to move mountains. That's going to make the thing, everything that you need to be done will be done, poppy seed faith. There's something about this faith. It's so simple, it's profound, and yet it has to be that way if it's going to be available for whosoever will. It's got to be simple. So you think, what's the missing? What makes it so simple? How can faith be that simple? I mean, Eve, you got these pressures. I mean, you can't just walk by faith without offending people and offending people. I found in my life, as I, again, walking with the Lord, if I could personify faith, put faith into people, I have walked in simple faith, and I've walked in complicated faith, all right? And I have found Ed House complicated faith doesn't like Ed House simple faith. It's kind of like Garfield and Odie, I think, if you remember that comic strip. You know, I don't like that. I don't like your little one-size-fits-all scripture. You know, on this complicated problem. I don't like that. Have you even divided the word right in the first place? I mean, where's the compassion? How can you just blindly look the other way at all the other possibilities in just one little da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? What should Eve have done in the face of all that? I mean, what was the right thing for her to do? Was she supposed to answer all the arguments? Did she have any obligation to respond to the devil and respond to his arguments? The right thing for her to do is just simply said, the Lord has just said, I can eat of any tree but that one. Yeah, but you're dumb. Yeah, but you're lacking, you're short-sighted, you're letting good food go to waste, you're incompassionate, you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Lord just said. It takes faith to be simple. There's a lot of voices in the world, and they're roaring. There's a lot of voices in the church, and they're roaring. Why can I believe something without having to answer all those questions? Without having to pass the compassion contest and the visual contest and the intellectual contest? Why can I just believe it? Here's the secret. This is it. The reason you can believe it in the face of all that demonic, corrupting wisdom that's trying to get you off your game, there's one reason you can believe it. Because it's true. That's it. Because it's true. Again, I've been simple Ed Faith and I've been complicated Ed Faith, and those two don't get along very well. But let me tell you something about simple Ed Faith. And if you believe in Jesus, I'm going to tell you something about your simple little faith. I believe I'm going to heaven when I die. I believe in Jesus. I believe in somebody I can't see. I wasn't there. I just believe it. I believe it. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never seen that book. You know, your simple faith in Christ really frustrates an unbeliever. Look at all the evolutionary evidences. Look at, and I'm going to hell and you're going to heaven. Compassion, you're failing that one. The intellectual, you're failing the intellectual contest, you're failing that one. And you see all those coming at your salvation, but yet you just know something inside, don't you? Ah, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. I believed in Him and I got a witness on the inside, and that witness is good enough. I just know it's true. I can't explain it all. I just know that it's true. And that truth is what makes me free. It's not my ability to answer all the questions. There is a simplicity in Christ that is a light yoke. That's a heavy yoke. To have to be in faith, spiritual, and incredibly intelligent and smart and brilliant and da-da-da-da-da. You know? I believe. I believe it because it's true. I mean, I like I said, I've been where you've been. Where you're going through some things, and then all of a sudden, you know, the enemy comes at you with stuff in your head, and all of a sudden you get that scripture. But the fact of the matter is that scripture is like, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says. Okay, that's okay. I gotta think right. Gotta think right. If I had more faith, if I could just think right. The reason why that scripture is so special is because it's true. It's true. You know, you can only live off the emotional inspiration of God is for you for so long. It's the truth that God is for you that will make you free. I choose to believe it. I choose to believe it's true. You know, 2 + 2 did not come to be 4 when Ed House finally ran the math. And we could all see, all right, thank you, Pastor Ed, for finally doing it. No, 2 + 2 has always been 4, and it's been waiting for Ed House to finally come around and learn that little thing. Jesus didn't become the way, the truth, and the life at the point in time Ed House received Christ. No. He's been the truth yesterday, today, and forever. I just discovered it. See, the nature of truth is, it just is. You can come to the conclusion the hard way or the easy way. Man, the truth of God's word, they're like keys that God gives you. I don't totally know how my car runs. I don't exactly know what happens when I turn that key. All I know is it runs, it starts up, and it takes me where I need to go. There are keys God gives you. There are keys that He gives you. Simple things. And what do I do? Jesus, if you continue my word, you know the truth will make you free. What is mustard seed faith? It's simply believing that the word of God is true. That's it. If I'm in that battle, let's kind of go on, like, because we're kind of going to the next point here. The trial of mustard seed faith, all right? The trial of my faith, trial of faith, the trial of your mustard seed faith. The trial of your faith is the trial of your mustard seed faith. Not my great big faith that needs a big trial. It's a trial against your mustard seed faith. All right? When we look at the scriptures, James puts it this way. Again, like I said, there's places in the Bible that's politically incorrect to turn to in church. We're going to turn to one of those this morning. All right. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wow. Really? Knowing that the testing, trying of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Can I turn? But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything of the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Now, if you listen to the scripture, and that's like, oh, yeah, that's me. That's me right there. Well, I'm not going to receive anything from the Lord. That's it. I told you. Got a faith problem. That confirms it right there. That's me. Tell me all your simple faith. Mustard seed faith this morning. We're talking about the trial of your mustard seed faith. We're the trial of your staying with the simple word of God. And when you look at it, first of all, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience. Remember, Hebrew writer says, through faith and patience you inherit the promises of God. It produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, you know, that's the most vulnerable thing about the testing of your faith. There's something you don't know. There's something you don't know, you can't reconcile, so you just ask God for wisdom. And he says, let him ask in faith. What do you mean, faith? No doubting. How can you not doubt? How could Eve not doubt? Those are compelling arguments. How could I not doubt those arguments? How could I not engage those arguments? I've tried to not doubt. I can't not doubt. They're just too compelling. How do you get off that merry-go-round of reason? Somebody once put it like this. If Satan can keep you in the arena of reason, he'll whip you every time. But if you can keep him in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. The testing of your faith is when the enemy comes through with the same reasonings to try to get you off the simplicity of the Word of God. And the thing that you realize as you begin to you know, walk with the Lord and you begin to see some of these trials, you begin to realize, hey, you know what? I can't prove that Jesus died for my sins 2,000 years ago. I can't prove that he was raised from the dead. And yet I believe it. In fact, put it this way, the great beloved song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know why you believe Jesus loves you? It is right there, for God so loved the world. That same Bible tells you other things too. Same things. With a simple faith, we can begin to believe. As we look at here, you know, let that man, you know, think that he won't receive anything, Lord. He's double-minded. How do I get out of the double-mindedness? I am simply believing something is true. Here's the key, all right? When I'm in that frenzy, let's say I'm where Eve was, and I'm just dealing with bitterness against somebody. It's like, oh, I can't believe they did it. I can't believe they said it. It might be something that happened today. It might be something that happened 40 years ago, okay? The enemy will come in, and he'll roar. He'll do his deal. And it works you over. It works you over mentally. It works you over emotionally. And it gets you in a state. And you think, oh, the enemy, he's beating me up. He's beating up my emotions. He's beating me up mentally. He's beating me up in all these ways. He doesn't really care about your emotions. This is not a trial of your emotions. It's a trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. When he gets in your head, he goes about he goes about as a roaring lion. When he begins to roar thoughts in your head, and you know what it's like? You say, okay, no, I've forgiven. I've forgiven. I've forgiven. I've forgiven. And he says, yeah, you forgive. You forgive. You forgive. You've forgiven 1,000 times, and you know I'm going to come back to you 1,000 more times before the end of the day. If you've forgiven, why are you in such a mess? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let go of it, let go of it, let go of it. Ultimately, he wants you to come to the conclusion, forgiveness doesn't work. Forgiveness doesn't work. I've tried, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's what he's after. He could care whether you're happy. He just wants your faith. He doesn't want you to believe the truth of God's word. In fact, when the disciples, remember, said, increase our faith, before that, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, you got to forgive him. Lord, increase our faith. It was a love walk question. Jesus was when they said increase our faith. And when you're in there and you're going down, it doesn't work. See, I don't have faith. I'm double-minded. Yeah, I believe it. But then I'm just mad. I'm working up fume again. I went there and I'm double. That's me. That's totally me. I can't do it. I've tried it. I'm the double-minded man. I'm unstable. I admit it. How do I get out of that merry-go-round? You're in the arena of reason. You're right where Eve was. You feel a moral obligation to have to explain how truth works. You don't have that moral obligation. Eve didn't have a moral obligation to explain to the devil why. Why? In the face of its great fruit, in the face of all the amazing things, why? All she just had the command, don't do that. That's the simplicity. She felt compelled to engage the reasoning. And that's where we are too when we get into this. I'm engaging. Why? We're talking mustard seed faith. What's going to get me out of this merry-go-round? What's going to get me off this treadmill? Mustard seed faith is going to get you off it. A really tiny little dot of faith is what's going to get you off of it. In the middle of that, instead of saying, oh no, I believe for you. See, what the enemy really wants is he wants you to believe that forgiveness really doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know what your response is? You know what mustard seed faith, in the trial of your mustard seed faith does? In the face of feeling hurt, in the face of being beat up, in the face of all that, is when you look up and say, I believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of forgiveness. It's not because of how I feel. It's not because of my ability to answer those compelling questions. I believe in the power of forgiveness because it's true. It's true. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. These aren't to-dos that I'm to be burdened by. This is truth that makes me free. Mustard seed faith gets the revelation that it doesn't have to answer all the questions. You still have a logic, all right? You still have the ability to reason. But the thing that now satisfies your need for logic, your need for reason, isn't satisfied in answering the enemy's questions. It's satisfied in knowing that the word is true. I believe it's true. Can you prove it? I believe it's true. I can't prove it. I just believe it's true. You're about to make some progress. You read the psalmist. You listen closely to testimonies. I was at the bottom of my rope. I'm at the very bottom. There's nothing left. And then all of a sudden, I just cried out, God, help me. And it's amazing how many turning points are right there. Just a simple faith, just a simple cry, and then all of a sudden they see something. I mean, you can be on that merry-go-round of bitterness, and all of a sudden you see forgiveness. Man, it's like, I don't know if you've seen the Weather Channel, flooded states, people on their houses, and helicopters come in and lift them out. All of a sudden you come into those places, the bottom, and all of a sudden you see that simple truth, and you hold on to it, and God just lifts you out. I believe. You're a fool. You're going to forgive them. I believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. I believe in freedom. I believe in bless those who curse you. I believe in do good. I believe it. I just believe it. I'm not trying to emotionally reconcile it. I'm not trying to intellectually reconcile it. I'm not trying to compassionately reconcile it. I just believe. It's mustard seed. I just believe because it's true. It's in the Word. I say that I believe that this Word is God-inspired. All right, here's my chance. I just believe it, and the pressure's off me. That's a light yoke. We get so built up in the faith and the eight steps and all that stuff. I'll tell you what, look at Peter. This is a great story. You know, Jesus walking on the water, coming to the boat. They're afraid. Somebody walking on the water, that can't be. It must be a ghost. You know, I guess a ghost could walk on water. Made sense to them. But a person can't walk on water. We all know that. Anyway, Jesus said, it's me. And then Peter looks out and says, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And now look at, Peter's about to go out of the boat, all right? Now, he hasn't had the six-month seminar on faith to walk on water yet. He hasn't even had it. This is really a spontaneous thing. So he must be operating in some pretty simple faith. Right, not high IQ stuff. In fact, the scripture says, man, these guys are kind of unlearned, but they've been with Jesus. They must be getting people healed. I don't know, something. Again, the educated mind in the scripture gets frustrated. Jesus said they would. They did. Still do today. Simple faith is still true today. He said, come. Peter, come down on the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was very afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now that's interesting that Jesus would rebuke him. You know, was it right? I mean, you think about it. Peter wasn't walking on the, I mean, he walked on the water. It says right in verse 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he was doing it. He was walking on the water. And then he saw something, didn't he? The wind. Boisterous. He was afraid. Something got him off that simple faith. And that's what disappointed Jesus. And Peter didn't start out walking on the water because all the conditions were just right. No, the first step was miraculous. He was being held up by the miraculous, simple faith power of God. Wait, nothing to do with it. But as a fisherman, he had a strong connection with those waves. And you, as whatever you are, will have a strong connection with whatever waves might come in your life. You understand the implications. And what did Jesus really want him? Jesus would have just loved for him to just stay that simple, come, and not get all smart. And his fisherman smarts about just stay simple. That would have pleased the Lord. Mustard seed faith. It's not complicated. It's so simple. It is so simple. And when I'm beginning to go through something, I realize, hey, the enemy, he isn't after my emotions. He isn't just trying to get me mad. He's just a wreck of life. He wants one thing from you. You see, your emotions are not a threat to him. Your emotions have no power over him. There's no value there. You have something that's of value. The Bible says when the sower sows the seed, the enemy comes immediately to try to steal the seed that was sown. Your faith, when you get him in the arena of faith, everything changes. I can be over here on the emotional track. I want to get emotional healing and healed up, and then I walk by faith. No, you get in faith and you're healing. Your emotions will start to get healed up. See, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Learn of me. I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. It's simple. It's going to be. He said that in connection with, I thank you, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prude. You've revealed them unto babes. So when you're on the frustrating faith merry-go-round, realize you are, it's not like, oh, I'm a really deep. It's going to take me about 5 years to get to here to where I can, no, I'm double-minded, I'm triple-minded, I'm quadruple-minded. Doesn't matter. You are a moment away. You are a moment of simple faith away from seeing something that'll airlift you out of that thing. And when you see that one thing, wow, the enemy's after, he doesn't really care about making me mad or sad. He wants one thing from me. He wants me to believe that forgiveness doesn't work. He wants me to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't really cleanse me from all sin, that I have to stay in guilt. And then what happens is, when you respond rightly, you hold on to it and say, Jesus, the winds, waves, arguments, intellectual, all that stuff, I'm just holding on to the simple truth. It's mustard seed faith. I'm holding on. This is not a personality type. All right? Yeah, one of those. Believe me, there are times in my walk with the Lord, if I was hearing this message, I would want to slap me. I've been there. Do you understand? But I've gotten out of there, not because of some complicated theory of 18 steps, and if you follow them, you're going to get free too. No, it's real simple. Might cost you your reputation. People might think you're weird and crazy, but why do I believe it? Why am I intellectually satisfied? Because the Bible's true. Those words were penned by men of God. Jesus said, it is written. There is power. When Jesus resisted the devil, he said, it is written. And there is something about the authority of it is written that trumps all those arguments. It trumped him with Jesus, and it will trump it with you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Mustard seed faith is a light yoke. Sometimes we heavy down the yoke a little bit. Remember, this is a trial of your mustard seed faith. All the other peripheral stuff, that's smoke screen. The enemy just wants you to stop believing the Word of God. We can see in our culture, in the world, and all the different changes that are going on culturally. We know the big picture is the enemy just wants to discredit this Word. We can see it from that perspective, but we've also got to see it from this perspective as believers. Our situation, our relationship issues, our problems, that word is true. It's simple. It's not simple because I can explain it. It doesn't work once I've got the faith enough to believe it. It will work. I'm not waiting to come up to a level of faith. God is just waiting for me to choose to believe it's true. A lot of times what we mean by getting my faith up is that I can explain and answer all the questions. You're never getting off that treadmill. You're going to have to humble yourself as a little child. Say, I just believe it because it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. The authority of it is written is the intellectual basis for my faith. You know, when you begin to look at some other scriptures, as long as Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, resist him steadfast in the faith, roars steadfast, sufferings are experienced. May the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There is nothing, like when the enemy has been eating your lunch for years in an area, and all of a sudden you realize, all I got to do is believe that. You need to find out what the scripture is and believe that it's true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's nice. No, it's not nice. It's true. There's a difference. it's nice will end up being a very heavy yoke once the emotions wear off. It's true will set you free. It's true is will get you off the arena of reason and into the arena of faith. And you say, it is written, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old's passed away. Behold, all has become new. There's authority in that. And you can just sense all of the Lord is pushing away. Oh, my God. I'm a new Christian in Christ Jesus. I'm a new Christian in Christ Jesus. I'm a new Christian. I really am. I really am a new Christian in Christ Jesus. And it just, you can wear yourself out with that same scripture. See, Paul said, we don't serve in the oldness of the letter. We're serving in a newness of the spirit. And it's not because I say it 50 times. Jesus said, don't think you're going to be heard for your much speaking. Pagans aren't going to be heard for you. You're not going to be heard for your much speaking. It's faith. Lord, I'm not trying to match wits with the devil and say the scripture. I'm just believing one thing about I'm a new. I just believe that it's true. I see it's true. It's not illegal to imagine things that are true. In fact, you're commanded to think on things that are true. Honest, just, pure, lovely. Simple mustard seed faith isn't as simple as it might. You got to get past yourself. You have to get past it, and you're going to get blam blasted. You got to get past it. If you want to stay there and keep yourself happy, that's fine. You can stay where you are, but you know, you find out at some point, Jesus, if you're going to be my disciple, you know, father, mother, brother, sister, all that stuff, man, if you love them more than you love me, you can only go as far as they'll let you go. But when you say, Lord Jesus, this is it always was you, it is you, it always will be you. I don't care what anybody else thinks, Lord. I want freedom. The truth makes me free. He didn't say it makes you right. We want to be right and you're wrong. No, you're past right and wrong. I want to be free. I want to be at a place when those things come against my mind, I know what to say. It is written. It is done. And I've got that simple childlike faith and I'm holding on to it because it's true. It's true because it is written, not because I can explain it. I'm off the hook. Is the enemy going to intellectually intimidate me because I can't explain it? Sure. Does that matter? It has mattered for me for a long time. But when you begin to realize, God, all of a sudden, that doesn't matter anymore. It's just true. He's after my, it's a trial of my faith. He wants my faith. He wants to change what I believe about God, the way he did that with Eve in the garden. He's coming after my faith. He's coming after what I believe about God. There's things, how did that happen? I don't know. I can't explain it. But God is good. He loves me. And there's nothing that can separate me from his love. Nothing can separate me from his love. What about this? Why did he allow that? Nothing can separate me from it. I don't answer it. I don't answer it on a compassion basis, on an intellectual basis. I just believe it's true. I believe that it's true because it is written. Oh, it's freeing. It's freeing. Are you going to guff for it? Yeah, Paul said you would. James said, who's wise and understanding? You know, he talks about two different kinds of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't lie against the truth. That wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. All right? And he says, where there's envy, self-seeking, confusion, every evil thing are there. You get that kind of stuff in your head, all that demonic stuff, and the enemy will not only give that junk to you, but he'll spiritualize it as though it were from God and make you think you're not being responsible to yourself to let go of that. The wisdom that is from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Ah, it's sown in peace with them that make peace. I've been set free from my merry-go-rounds simply by discerning the wisdom of it. I have the intellectual satisfaction of not having to go there simply because it's not from above. It's wisdom. You know, though it's wisdom. There's a logic to it. It's compelling logic, but it's just not true. I don't have to emotionally feel better. I can, in the middle of my emotional yuck and my mental yuck and confusion yuck, say, no, it's not God's wisdom. This is what God's wisdom looks like. No. Lord, I just look to you. I look to you. Lord, I ask for that wisdom that's from above, pure, peaceable, gentle. No, 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 no. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to look up, but I have no obligation to have to wallow around in this muck and mire. It is serving no purpose. It is not God. This is simplicity of faith. This is some places you walk through in your walk with God. Like I said, I didn't just get saved yesterday. I've been through some things. I know some stuff from walking through it. And the more I know, the simpler I get. You're born with a doctorate in the flesh in reasoning. And that's a scary place when you're over here and you spiritualize the enemy's lies as though it were God. Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I've been there. I'll tell you, it gets you mad at God. because you can't figure it out, because you can't answer the accusations. You lose, he wins. No. It is written. God is for me. Yeah, but. I believe God is for me. You are ridiculous. I believe God is for me. I believe God is for me. Father, I believe you're for me. And no devil in hell can shake that. I believe you're for me. I like to pray when I lead people to say, many things I don't understand, one thing I choose to believe, you love me. Mustard seed faith is mustard seed faith because you're simply believing it's true. I'm not reconciling it anymore. I'm just believing it. I'm holding on to it. And it's holding on to me. And it's pulling me out. I'm continuing in that truth. And that truth is making me free. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Don't waste your time there. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Why would you have an argument with natural reasoning? They're not supposed to understand anyway. These are spiritually discerned. You're comparing spiritual with spiritual. I've had that where I've been here, been in my merry-go-round, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden I just declare that word. God loves me. God is for me. And the same spirit that bears witness that I'm a child of God just bears witness that it's true. See, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Jesus said the Spirit will bear witness to the truth. It'll lead and guide you into all truth. And so that word, as you just begin to lift it up, say, Lord, I believe it's true. And that's the best way to release mustard seed faith, to say, Lord, I believe it's true. It is written. I believe it's true. I believe it's true. And all of a sudden, those voices that you were like this, trying to answer, you're looking up, and all of a sudden, you hear them on the peripheral side. And you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're not the finisher of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. And I'm looking unto him. And in his eyes, all of a sudden, those voices are peripheral. He's the author. He began this good work in me. He's the one who's going to complete it. Not me, as I'm answering all the questions to protect my pride, dignity, while I walk in faith. That's why we stall out sometimes. But I'm looking unto him. Mustard seed faith is mustard seed faith, simply because you believe what the Bible says is true, because it's written. And then you hold on to it as true. There's a difference between, I'm a new creation. I forgive. I'm a new creation. You're trying to say it to keep your mind. Say, no, wait. I'm not doing it enough times to combat the negative thoughts. It's true. What the heart man believes. Lord, I believe. Now I'm saying it repeatedly for a different reason. Because it's true. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is peripheral voices yelling. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have really become new. They're really of God. Lord, you are for me. You have not stopped being for me. You were for me. You are for me. You always will be for me. Wow, that hasn't changed. Praise God. He wants your faith. He doesn't care about your, he just wants your faith. He'll make you happy in an emotional state. He'll make you feel like you got some if you'll just turn loose of God. No. Truth. I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe it's true. This is very personal. This is between you and God. This is not a corporate thing. When you get delivered from your personal messes, it'll be a personal closet, secret place, looking up. I believe it. I believe it's true. And finally, I'll just kind of go through these promises of mustard seed faith. Peter says, look, everything you need is wrapped up in these exceedingly great and precious promises. Here's the big one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you believed in Jesus? You have everlasting life. Can you prove that Jesus was raised from the dead? Nah, you just believe it, and you have that everlasting life. Praise God. You've already got a simple faith working in you, all right? You got a place to work from. If any man is in Christ, I'll read the Amplified, he's engrafted in Christ, the Messiah. He's a new creation, the new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, you were by nature children of wrath. You are no longer by nature a child of wrath. You're a new creation. Yeah, we have the law of sin and death in our flesh that wars against our mind to get us on the merry-go-round, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. Oh, that feels really good. Well, it's true. It's true. I meditate on it, not so I can have enough good thoughts to overcome the bad thoughts. I meditate on it, and I believe it, and I see it because it's true. It's true. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you. It's true. It's not a preacher trying to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You were bought at a price. I can do all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. There is a real strength in me. Christ does have strength in me. I'm way down. I'm very down. And I'm not trying to. All I'm doing is I'm looking up and say, Jesus, I believe you're in me. I believe I can do all things. I believe that strength is in me. I believe it. I believe it. You got roars, right? Roaring lion. Can you believe something is simply true because it is written in the face of the roaring lion? Boy, when you can, deliverance is coming. That little simple mustard seed faith in that truth will make you free. Simple. Behold, the manner of love the fathers have bestowed upon us. We should be called the children of God. Beloved, now are we the children of God. Doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we're going to be like him. We'll see him as he is. You're of God, little children, have overcome them because he was in you is greater. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Ooh, that'll get you off the merry-go-round. The man on the merry-go-round, the roaring lion, doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that deep down, he's really more powerful. Faith is not supposed to be a coping crutch. Paul said, look, if there's no resurrection, if this thing isn't real, then we're of all men most pitiable. This is not a coping mechanism. It's real or it isn't. Paul said, look, if it isn't real, then don't. Don't go on any further. You got better things to do with your time on a Sunday morning than this, if it's a coping mechanism. It's not. It's real. I believe it's real. Oh, because you believe it's real. Yeah, I'm not trying to convince you. I believe it's real. And when you get the drawing of the Holy Spirit and you know it's real, praise God. I'm not winning the world by convincing them why I believe it's real. It's just the gospel. The message of the gospel preached. The Holy Spirit works with it and people respond to it. Some people do, some people don't. But it's the gospel. It's the message preached. He who is in me is greater than he that's in the world. I'll tell you what, you just believe that one thing, that'll take you off a lot of merry-go-rounds. Lord, I believe you are greater than he, you are in me, and you're greater than he that is in the world. Roar away. Something begins to happen. You begin to come out. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Ah, that's comforting. It's better than comforting. It's true. It's true. Mustard seed faith. I'm believing some things are true. Law of the Spirit of life. You know, these are some great Romans. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing will be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It's true. And then finally, God can give us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Matthew 17, Jesus said, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here, and this is the scripture we started out with, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Who is this person? Is this person a certain simpleton personality type? No, this is somebody who's just simply chosen to believe the word of God is true in the face of their circumstances, in the face of their garden, in the face of the tree they're looking at. The simple word of God. Mustard seed faith. There's a simplicity. There's a simplicity. There's a simplicity that we got to realize the word is true, not because I discovered that it's true or because I've tried it. It's true because it is written. I don't have to answer the arguments. I don't have to prove that it's true. I just simply believe that it's true. If you can get past the persecution that comes from that and just your word, like that centurion, at your word, you don't have to come over and do it or show anything. It's true. Jesus said, wow, that's amazing. That's great faith. The attack, the trial of mustard seed faith. Remember, when you're going through something, there's only one thing Satan wants from you. He wants your faith. And that's where you push back and say, no, in the face of everything that looks one way, I take the word of God and I just simply believe that it's true. I believe it's true. And as you continue in that truth will make you free. There's power in that truth. And then finally, the promises. There are promises of mustard seed faith. We kind of went through them up there. But there are promises throughout the Word of God. I just want to encourage you this morning. That same simple faith that you already have in Christ is the same simple faith that will put you over. You know how people perceive you as believing you're going to go to heaven when you die and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what. You know why? You believe the Word of God is true. It's the same Word. It's the same Lord. Same Spirit. The same Jesus. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus right now. I just thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And I just pray for each one here this morning. I just pray, Lord, for the simplicity of faith. Go ahead and make this your declaration if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You have not designed faith to be complicated. You have designed faith to be simple. A mustard seed represents simple faith. I believe because I choose to believe because it is written. I hold on to that. As I hold on to that word, your word holds on to me. As I continue in that word, I see that truth. That truth makes me free. I know that when I'm attacked, the enemy wants one thing, my faith. I see past my emotions. I see past my frustrations. And I see a beautiful word. You throw it out to me. A precious promise that I can hold on to and escape the corruption that's in this world. I can escape corruptive reasonings and just look unto you and see your deliverance. And when I'm free, all I can do is look up and say, thank you, Jesus. You did it again. I love you. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. You were raised from the dead. I receive you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's faith from beginning to end. Born again, saved by grace through faith, live by faith, walk by faith. Praise God.